I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast, but also a podcast that sometimes will go to 9, 10, or even go to 11, depending on what the news is. And the news is sort of big on this Friday afternoon as Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely at minimum for the 2019 NFL regular season and postseason for his actions on the field on Thursday night. I'm Will Brinson. We have a Super Fringe Redux remix, Ryan Wilson.
John Waka, Waka, Waka.
And Sean Wagner McGough. What's up, boys?
That's my remix. That's my remix.
I bet Sean won't do any beatboxing.
I 100% will not.
I prefer not to beatbox. It's demeaning.
I just prefer not to embarrass myself on the podcast.
Jen Erso did not beatbox in Rogue One, so I will not beatbox.
Wow, Breach, come on. We're on the same side about the Space and Rudolph stuff, and then you're doing your Sean impression? Come on.
All right, look.
I've never done one.
All right, as pointed out.
I know! That's why it's a betrayal.
Pointed out by one of our listeners, we didn't do a great job describing exactly what happened last night on Thursday night football between the Browns and the Steelers in a game that the Browns won 21-7. So very quickly, in case you somehow missed it, and you probably didn't because this is one of those CNN things, like where, you know, CNN's like, it's a slow news day on Friday. Let's use this wild NFL story.
It was a block of Good Morning America.
Was it really? Wow. I didn't know you watched Good Morning America. I'm more of a CBS This Morning guy, but I guess you're a traitor. So what are you going to do, Ryan? Don't like a Norm McDonald, huh? Anyway, Myles Garrett comes in, tackles Mason Rudolph, the Steelers quarterback. Mason Rudolph reacts. After Mason had thrown the ball is well gone. Mason Rudolph reacts in a manner that he grabbed his helmet, put his hands around his helmet, trying to pull Myles Garrett's helmet off. Wasn't ideal. Myles Garrett, there are some people that claim that he kicked him in the penis as well. Ryan's shaking his head that didn't happen. You were on the field, you know. At any rate, Myles Garrett, much stronger than Mason Rudolph, picks Mason Rudolph up by his face mask, lifts him up, rips his helmet off, and then as Mason Rudolph comes at him, proceeds to strike him on the top of the head with the helmet. He was summarily ejected after that happened. We saw Marquise Pouncey come flying in, leapt the offensive lineman for the Steelers, leapt onto Myles Garrett, delivered a bunch of furious fists, and then Larry Ogunjobi, the defensive lineman for the Browns, shoved Mason Rudolph down to the ground, at which point Mason Rudolph appears to have called him a B. The whole thing was a fight on a football field in a tense rivalry game, and it's pretty standard. These things happen with the exception, of course, Ryan, of Myles Garrett using Mason Rudolph's helmet to strike Mason Rudolph on his head, and that's why he was suspended for the entire season. Was it a fair suspension?
Yeah, no, without a question. I don't think anyone here disagrees with the suspension. A couple of clarifying points. The helmet that Myles Garrett swung was Mason's, obviously, but he hit him with the open part of the helmet. So if he'd hit him with the top of the crown of the helmet, this could be a different conversation about Mason's current state of being. Also, David DeCastro, the Steelers guard, had jumped on top of Myles Garrett after he swung and missed or swung and made contact, and that's when Marquise Pouncey came around and started kicking and punching him. And I will say, luckily for Garrett, there was a Browns player there, I don't remember who it was, who was standing in front of Myles' head. So basically, Marquise Pouncey was punching this Browns player in the back of the leg and kicking him in the back of the leg. Nonetheless, Marquise got three game suspension. I'm fine with that. Marquise said after the game, I don't care what I get. At that point, I was just protecting my teammate. He also said he blacked out. He was so angry once he saw the helmet swing. And by the way, if you're at a bar 2 in the morning and someone swings a bottle and Marquise Pouncey's nearby, run for your life. Don't do like Mason Rudolph and run into the middle of the melee. Get out of there. I don't understand why Mason actually – I know he was fired up, but I don't understand why he actually followed Garrett after his helmet came off, because nothing good obviously was going to come up, and nothing good did come up. But I think all of us agree that the suspension for the rest of the season – it's actually called indefinite – is fine for Myles Garrett. The one game for Okojobi could be reduced. You mentioned that, the one game for
Let's run through him suspension by suspension. Breach, any issues with Myles Garrett being suspended? And do you think it could potentially push over into the 2020 season, as some have suggested? Because this is not a, you're suspended 6 games or 10 games plus the playoffs. It's basically like, you're suspended indefinitely. Let's see if the Browns make the playoffs, right?
Right. And I have no problem with this. I mentioned last night's podcast or early Friday's podcast that I thought 10 games would be good, somewhere between 6 and 10 games. And this is right around what they did, because it's going to be 6 games if you miss the rest of the regular season. If they somehow make the playoffs, you know, you tack on a few more games, and that is even more devastating that he would miss playoff games. So I am completely fine with this. And I'm also fine if Roger Goodell talks to him at the end of the season and isn't happy and says, you know what, you're missing 2 more games next season. So if it does bleed over, I'm fine with that, because you cannot take your helmet off and hit, or you cannot take someone's helmet off and then try and hit them with it. I mean, that is just, that is the one unwritten rule, but also I think it's a written rule. You just can't break that one. And so, you know, Ryan mentioned last night that we have seen Vontaze Burfict do some dumb things, but he's never even crossed this line. This is just a line you cannot cross. So absolutely, I agree with this. And I, as Ryan said, this is something I'm pretty sure we all agree on. This is a no-brainer for the NFL.
I think if the Browns were to make the playoffs, which I think none of us think will happen, but if they did, then I don't think Garrett should be suspended at the start of next season. I think that would be punishment enough, missing, you know, Cleveland's first playoff game since 2012 when you're probably the best player on the team. Then I would be fine if he is able to start week one. I mean, Ryan has said this repeatedly, and Brinson has repeated what Ryan has said sometimes. Garrett looked, as soon as he walked off that field, like, he knew he made a mistake. I don't think this means, like, Garrett's reputation will be tarnished.
That's the line that you're accusing me of repeating on HQ? Breach said it first, and then Ryan repeated it.
No,
Ryan repeated it, then Breach repeated it, then I said it? What are you going to get off to Breach too, punk?
No, I was watching.
Helmet, what do you want? You want some of this?
This is worse than the Phillip Rivers meltdown.
Where was I?
By the way, the Browns saw, according to 538, a 33% chance. Oh, no, the ELO, a plus 33 bump in ELO rating, 25% chance of making the playoffs. Steelers saw a 35 reduction in ELO, and they have a 34% chance of making the playoffs.
By the way, can I point out that you're not using Stephen O's number, our guy's baseline? It was 21% coming into this game for the Browns, down to 12%. Now that they lost Myles Garrett. The wins go from 7.5 to 7, I think, John. I'm not looking at it.
Current forecast, 7.7 wins down to 7.2. So basically, Myles Garrett is worth about a half a win they lose.
Yes, yeah, that's where I got you, though. I set it up with the playoff odds pre-Myles Garrett suspension. That's just after the game. This is where you jump in with those odds, but you don't have to be a D about it. So
a diva?
Yeah, a diva. Anyway, Sean was saying something. We don't care. Let's move on to the other. Worth noting, by the way, both organizations fined $250,000. Myles Garrett was listed, was fined another amount. And you have to wonder, like, how much did he actually get fined for that action? Jimmy and D Haslam.
From Tennessee.
You should come to the Branson Oyster Roast on Sunday. They issued a statement on Myles Garrett. Should I read it in the Tennessee voice, or should I just read it straight up?
Tennessee.
Well, it's one and the same, really. Go ahead.
All right. We are extremely disappointed what transpired last evening at the end of our game. There is no place for that in football, and that is not reflective of the core values we strive for as an organization. We sincerely apologize to Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Myles Garrett has been a good teammate and a member of our organization and community for the last 3 years, but his actions last night were completely unacceptable. We understand the consequences from the league for his actions. Thank you very much.
This is the Dukes of Hazzard right there.
That was pretty good, right?
That was very good. Can I?
I might start reading all Jimmy.
You're like the narrator. Who was the narrator in Dukes of Hazzard? It was one of the country singers.
Well, that's when Duke lost his way.
That's exactly. So, look, to follow up on that, and Adam Schefter just tweeted this: the Browns have now been penalized 87 times this season. They're most through 10 games since 1978. They've also racked up 4 ejections, which leads the NFL. How much of this are we putting on Freddie Kitchens?
I mean, I don't think he's coaching players to rip other people's helmets off and hit them with it, but they are undisciplined, so I'll put like 20%.
Yeah, I can't blame him for this. I mean, I can blame
The whole totality of the way with which this team has played this year in terms of penalties, doing dumb things, the four ejections.
Oh, I mean, it's gotta be, I mean, isn't that like one of the biggest roles of a coach? Like, I think that you put 99% on that. I mean, he probably has a lot of undisciplined players, but if Bill Belichick, and we use this example all the time, if he had this exact same roster, this team would not have the same record that they have, and they would not have the same penalty count, and would it be even close? This would be a playoff team easily.
8-2 with Bill Belichick coaching. By the way, here's Freddie Kitchens asked about if it's his fault, whether or not these penalties were occurring.
We're a couple of helmets, the helmet hits too, another ejection. Do you think there's a systemic problem on your team?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to understand what you said, so tell me what you want to. Just ask me point blank what you're asking.
Do you think the team's out of control?
No. I think people get helmet-to-helmet contacts every week. I think Miles wishes he had used better composure with 5 seconds to go in the game.
I'll ask you straight out what you said to. But any of this go back to the preseason in Indianapolis when fights were, I don't want to say encouraged?
No. Are encouraged? I never okayed fights. Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But that's not fighting. That's not after the whistle. But that's between the whistles, yes. I never condoned fighting on a football field because that's penalties. I don't coach penalties. I don't coach false starts. I don't coach after the whistle grabbing somebody's face mask. I don't coach that. So I don't know what you're talking about with Indianapolis when I condone fighting. That's putting words in my mouth. I've never in my life condoned a fight.
So that's Freddie Kitchens, Freddie Outhouse, to those who listen to the podcast regularly. For those, if you couldn't hear the reporter's questions, first up was Tony Grossi, who is not really a popular reporter amongst Browns players and coaches, sort of an instigator type. He's the one that Baker wrote, Jesus, Tony, that spawned that viral meme. And then Pat McManaman of, McManaman, maybe, whatever, of, ESPN also did the follow up. I can't, but leave me alone, Sean.
Just your whatever.
By the way, I think my accent might be like a dead ass spot on Freddie Kitchens.
Well, you did go to school in Tennessee for a while. So, well, he's from Alabama though.
Right. But my larger point being is that, I think that 20%, as Breach pointed out, way too low for the blame in terms of Freddie Kitchens, because this guy's team, undisciplined all year, sloppy, mistakes, fights, ejections, dirty hits. They do what they want. These players aren't held accountable at any point on any stretch of the field. They've lost multiple games because they're undisciplined, sloppy, and they almost let the Steelers win that game last night because of penalties on that big, big third quarter drive. This team, I like Freddie Kitchens. Keep saying it. But you know what? You can't have a team this sloppy and expect to win football games.
I got to chime in real quick because I answered a different question than you guys. Ryan was asking me specifically about last night's game, and then it changed to a conversation about the entire season. I would blame Kitchens about 70% for how sloppy they've been because, look, he just said in that interview, I don't coach penalties. Well, you're not coaching penalties because your team leads the league in penalties. So something, there's a disconnect of what's going on in practice or what you're preaching because your team's not getting it, which either means you're a bad coach or your team's undisciplined. It's one or the other. So yes, I would put that up at 70% for the whole season.
So the Steelers, had two drives that were more than 35 yards last night. One, they went 53 yards, their second drive of the game, and it resulted in a missed field goal. Seven plays, 30 yards, 30 yards by offense, 23 yards by penalty. So 53 total yards. And then the other one, that resulted in a touchdown, five plays, 34 yards of offense, 53 yards of penalties. Look, you can't win football games like this.
And not only that, we talked about this last night too. The special teams idiocy, just downing, going out of bounds, being the first one, just the stupid stuff that no other team that's halfway well coached would be willing to do. I will say this though. If the last 5 seconds hadn't transpired the way it had, I had no issue with the hit on Juju, the two helmet hits. That was just unlucky. Those are three guys coming together in the middle of the field. The Deontay Johnson hit wasn't dirty. I think Demarius Randall's trying to make a play. But when you ear hole a guy, you're going to get the penalty and you may get ejected, but I don't think it was malicious.
Yeah, but worthy of an ejection.
I thought it was fine to eject it, absolutely.
But I don't think that's reflective of Freddie Kitchens being as bad as – I mean, he is bad, but that's those two examples aren't his fault, I feel like.
Well, and the latest word on Randall is that he's probably is not going to get suspended but will get fined, which is I think we all think that's how the NFL probably should handle a hit like that.
Yeah, Demarius Randall, probably not to be – usually when you're ejected, you're not suspended just because they feel like it's a time-served type of situation. But you know who's not going to serve any time? Mason Rudolph. And coming up after the break
– uh-oh.
We'll get into a heated debate.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, so we saw the penalties. Just in case it wasn't clear, Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. That means he's done for the regular season, and he will be done for the postseason if the Browns make the playoffs. They don't have a great chance of making it. Larry Ogunjobi suspended one game. Very excited that I can pronounce his name. And, of course, Maurkice Pouncey suspended three games. He will obviously miss the next time these two teams play. Larry Ogunjobi will be back. Look, first of all, it's a huge loss for the Browns in terms of their defense and trying to win football games. The defense has carried this team. It's not the offense winning games for them. And they now are missing their best defensive player and best pass rusher, one of the five best pass rushers in the league. And, at least for one game, their biggest, run stuffer in the middle in Ogunjobi. So, this is a big problem for the Browns. However, people are not worried about the Browns suspensions quite so much on Twitter and social media. People are hot and freaking bothered about Mason Rudolph not being suspended. And this is not like eggs on Twitter being mad about Mason Rudolph. This is like reporters who think he should have been suspended. And in fact, Ryan, I think we have two in our midst, two anti-Masonites, two non-free Masonites who believe that Mason Rudolph should have been suspended. Sean, you are one of those people.
Yeah, well, first of all, I do think not suspending him is probably the worst punishment for the Steelers because now they have to keep starting Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and that's been a disaster.
Did you tweet that? You should have tweeted that.
No, I can do it after the podcast, though.
Allen is the best running back thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If it's Brinson's approved, I mean, Brinson will retweet it, I'll do it. This is the problem with, and I want to preface all this by saying, no matter what Mason Rudolph actually did, you should never take off his helmet and hit him with it. So whatever he did, Mason Rudolph's Miles Garrett's response was not justified whatsoever. But I'm with Breach on this about the hit. I don't think it was late. And if you watch the replay in slow motion, it kind of looks late because it's so slowed down. You can see Myles Garrett throwing him down. But the official's looking right at it. The official did not flag it as a late hit. So, okay, even if you think the hit is a little bit late, and I don't think you can say it was blatantly late because two out of the four people on this podcast don't think it was late. So even if you think it's a little bit late, every quarterback does not react the way Mason Rudolph reacted, which was to grab Myles Garrett's helmet, as Ryan said. And if you look at a lot of convincing screenshots on Twitter, and I know screenshots can be misleading, you can't see the full picture of what happened, it's looking like he's digging his cleat into Myles Garrett's groin area. So, like, and then Ryan mentioned they get up. Mason Rudolph, at that point, if Mason Rudolph doesn't pursue Myles Garrett, the helmet thing doesn't happen. And again, Myles Garrett can't react the way he did. He can't swing the helmet. But Mason Rudolph had a hand in instigating this. And he should not have gotten hit in the helmet by hitting the head by his own helmet. That's uncalled for. But I would have been fine if they had suspended Mason Rudolph one game. And quite frankly, probably the Steelers probably should have been too.
Yeah. I mean, you guys want to, somebody want to rebut, and then I'll jump in and rebut the rebut, and then someone can rebut the rebut the rebut.
You want to rebut 2.0, Brinson? Why don't you go ahead?
Look, here's my thing. And people aren't understanding this when I say this on Twitter. I wouldn't have had a problem if Mason Rudolph was suspended. But why are you surprised he wasn't suspended? He had his helmet ripped off, and then his helmet was used as a weapon against him on his exposed cranium. He's threatening potential assault charges against Myles Garrett. Why would the NFL suspend him? What good does that do the NFL to suspend Mason Rudolph any amount of time outside of helping the Steelers, as Sean intimated? There's no benefit here to the NFL for suspending the guy who was assaulted on the field. I'm not suggesting that assault charges would stick. I think the idea of that is entirely ridiculous. But when you get hit in the head with your own helmet while it's being used as a weapon, you're probably not going to be suspended unless you did something really out of control. And I understand he reached for Myles Garrett's helmet. He didn't pull it off. Whatever. If he kicked him in the nuts, that's a dirty move. But you know what? It probably happens a little bit more often in football than we like to think. I'm not condoning what Mason Rudolph did, but I am not surprised at all that the NFL didn't suspend him.
Well, if he did, and I've watched the clip, and I'm still not sure he kicked Myles Garrett in the midsection, but he could have, as Sean said, that's one part I'm still not sure. But if he did, what are you going to go to criminal court? And Myles Garrett is going to plead self-defense, be like, judge, I got kicked in the midsection before I did anything. I tackled him on the football field within the game of play, and he retaliated by doing something that no quarterback in the history of the NFL has ever done, which is try to tear my helmet off and kicked me in the midsection. So I don't think that that's the argument Myles Garrett would play if this somehow went to court, which I don't think it ever will. But here's the thing. Myles Garrett was completely in the wrong here. We all agree on that. He should never have swung Mason Rudolph's helmet at Mason Rudolph's head and hit him on the head with it. That was wrong. But that does not absolve Mason Rudolph from anything he did in this situation. It's one of those two wrongs don't make a right. Sean hit the nail on the head. He's the one who followed Myles Garrett into the end zone and put himself in the situation where he got hit. And this whole thing only happened because he tried to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off and because he kicked him. So, like, if he gets – I think he's going to get fined. I think some small punishment is fine. But you can't just grill people because they're saying, hey, you can't exonerate this guy because he did do something.
No one's saying he should be exonerated. I think everyone agrees he should be fined. But suspending him, and this is what I was tweeting at you, John, when I was trying to play the old trivia game with the old ladies at the coffee shop, is that never in the history of the NFL has someone been suspended for trying to take someone's helmet off. Ever. And I don't know why we keep glossing over the part. Sean sort of hit on it, but John doesn't talk about this part. He threw the ball to Trey Edmonds in the flat, and then Myles Garrett picks him up and body slams him and lays on top of him.
No, because that's an inaccurate description of what happened. That's
you keep on saying that's blatantly obvious when two out of the four people here disagree with it. So it's
Sean,
not blatantly obvious.
I'll make the same argument I made last night. If Tom Brady is wearing Mason Rudolph's jersey, are we okay with that? Like, Tom Brady should be suspended if he did everything afterwards what Mason Rudolph did? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we disagree. That's crazy talk, but that's fine.
Garrett was falling forward on the play. I'm watching it right now. Garrett had Rudolph in his grasp. And he let Rudolph land on top of him instead of slamming him into the grass, which he could have done. Watch the play. Don't make the face. Watch the play, Ryan.
The Steelers have just issued a statement. As an organization, we do not condone Sean Wagner and John Breach's statements.
And we are benching Mason Rudolph.
As an organization, we are disappointed with what occurred last night near the end of our game against the Cleveland Browns. The actions of the players involved were not something that should be part of any football game. Our players, coaches, and everyone in the Steelers organization understand that we must always maintain composure no matter what happens. After a hard-fought game between two rivals, it is a shame that the game ended that way. Art Rooney to Steelers president. I'm gonna ask this only because I feel like I've gotten a bunch of tweets about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think multiple people have suggested that, Mason Rudolph stopped being suspended because he's a white quarterback?
Get off Twitter because that has nothing to do with anything.
I agree that it has nothing to
if
do with it.
If this were Lamar Jackson and J.J. Watt, this would be the exact same outcome. Except that Lamar Jackson is a lot more athletic than Mason. He may have been able to get out of the way of the swinging helmet.
I will say that the fact that Larry Ogunjobi, I mean, shoved him down. Like, all he did was push him down. Like, he didn't do anything. Got the one game, and Mason gets nothing. I get it. Like, I understand why people are outraged, but I don't think the NFL is, like, out here protecting white quarterbacks. I mean, they are protecting white quarterbacks, but I think they're out here protecting all quarterbacks, you know?
I think Sean and I, who think that Mason Rudolph probably should have been punished, would both agree that race is not – that is just crazy Twitter talking. You always have crazy Twitter come out when something crazy happens because that's what crazy Twitter does. And race has absolutely nothing to do with this. But I do think the NFL needs to fine Mason Rudolph. That will placate anybody who thinks he does need to be punished.
Yeah, ask Marquise Pouncey if race has anything to do with it.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, Myles Garrett didn't say anything after that, like, Mason Rudolph, like, said something to him, right? So, like, maybe I could see this being an issue if Myles Garrett had said that after the game, like, this he called something.
I don't think that's even in the mix. I'm saying that, like, people are intimating that because Mason Rudolph is white, he's getting no suspension.
Oh, I mean, I saw the thing that I just intimated on Twitter last night, which was that he could have, but, like, if it would be one thing if, again, Mason or Myles Garrett after the game had said something.
That's right now, by the way.
Devo's you like, what? Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to even bring this up. I was like, okay, this is a good time to back away from the conversation. But Myles Garrett didn't say anything like that. He didn't accuse Mason Rudolph of that. So, like, I don't feel comfortable intimating that Mason Rudolph might have done that when no one involved in the action has accused him of that. So I'm going to stay away from that completely.
Yeah, Myles Garrett no commented it when asked if Mason Rudolph started it. Look, the bottom line is that in football, in these football games, it's never the dude who starts the fight that gets punished. It's always the dude who throws the punch. If you throw the punch, you're getting tossed out. It doesn't matter what the other guy did. And that's in life too. You know what? Like if you're the guy who gets caught throwing the punch in the school cafeteria because someone like spit in your sandwich or whatever, like the dude who spit in the sandwich isn't getting kicked out. It's a he said situation. The guy who threw the punch is getting suspended from school, though. I mean, that's just sort of how it works, unfortunately, in life. So, you know, we're a reactionary society, and you know what? The guy who rips the other helmet off and tries to bash the head in. I was shocked by people who were also taking the stance that they're like, Mason barely got hit. I mean, it's like, that's a weird stance. That could have gone really south, like where Mason Rudolph just like, you know, I mean, like.
I think if someone shoots you, Brinson, and the bullet grazes you, you'd be like, oh, I barely got hit. I'm not mad about that at all. Like, it's a football helmet that hit someone in the head. There's no, he barely got hit. You used a weapon to hit someone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts here. It's like that. That's a crazy Twitter went crazy last night. That's all.
I had a podcast listener DM me and was like, you should go buy a pumpkin and use a helmet on and see what happens. I might go do that.
I saw something on a video on YouTube where like a wooden chair that you would use at like a dinner table or something, and the guy took a helmet and hit it. He didn't swing, like he swung 75%, cracked it right in the middle, like right down the middle of the seat of the chair.
I mean, if you hit me on the head with this, I would be like, I mean, I'm pointing to a helmet in the background here of my setup, but like if I got hit in the head with this, the way that Myles Garrett swung it, I am 100% unconscious for the next six.
What if you put hairspray on your hair first?
Well, that's why I use hairspray, to make sure that I don't get hit.
You do have a lot of padding up there, so.
Yeah. If you hit me with Ryan's head, I would die.
Yeah. Coconut on coconut crime. Oh, there it is. Yeah, Debo put it into Slack, the thing that I was looking at.
Anyway, yeah, it hurts. That's a breach. You put it in there. It's fine. No big deal.
Thanks,
Brinson. They all look the same to you, Ryan. let's get out of here.
Okay, Mason Rudolph's.
Let's get out of here. This is the Emergency Podcast. Reminder, we recorded this around lunchtime on Friday. So if for any reason the Mason Rudolph thing changes, you know, don't get mad at us. We'll be back on Sunday night to record the recap, which you can get first thing Monday morning. Thanks as always for listening. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.